Thank you very much. And so this panel really shows the full circle of the intersections of education and practice, because I, in fact, did my training at the University of Michigan with several of the faculty and community partners here. And so I just commend the work that Michigan is doing and the Detroit URC. And I know my work in Charleston now is largely modeled after the work that they've done over the last 15, 20 years. So I just have to put the plug in for that. And I think our panelists really complement one another. I'm going to stray away from our previous speakers and not talk about a specific program, but build on this core principle of capacity and talk about a fellowship training initiative that we have in Charleston at the Center for Community Health Partnerships. So I have two 50% positions, which does not equal 100% position, and therefore have no time to do anything for which I would have to disclose. A little bit about the Center for Community Health Partnerships. So this has been visioned over the last 5 or 10 years, but in fact we received center status by our university in early 2008, and we represent researchers, clinicians, educators, and community partners with a mission to engage and partner with communities in research and initiatives that promote health, reduce the risk of illness and disease, and build community resilience. So what do we do specifically? We link partners, we link resources and information. We leverage capacity for academic community partnerships and CBPAR, and we lead innovation and awareness related to the social determinants of health and health disparities. And one of our main education and training initiatives is this Community Engaged Scholars Program that I'll speak specifically about today. So a little bit of background of how, give you some context of how this program was developed. Our area, we recognized a need in late 2007 and early 2008, a team consisting of researchers, administrators, and community leaders did a SWOT analysis, and that stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, to really identify where we are and where we need to look towards the future. And so these were some of the major findings that came out of this SWOT analysis. First, that we were doing research in the community rather than with the community. We needed to have a lot of honest conversation about the history and the context of previous research in the Lowcountry area. And that the products of research and programs and other community initiatives were not always shared with the community, that they were kept within the academic domain. And there was a lack of knowledge and resources describing how to really engage in true authentic partnerships, and a need for capacity building around this area, as well as professional development from both a community and an academic standpoint. So you can see this is a prime opportunity to interject a CBPAR principle, which is something that is not quite as founded as in areas in Michigan and some others in the region. So this we saw as a prime opportunity to bring this type of training. In South Carolina in general, in the latest United Healthcare Foundation rankings, we got a generous 46. I think we actually moved up from 48. But from our perspective and from an asset-based perspective, we see these disparities as real opportunities for growth, and therefore can really be a marker to show just how much change we can make in this type of facilitated, engaged research. So some strengths that we also had, though, is an institutional commitment from our highest level of leadership and our president towards putting money where our mouth was and working directly with our communities. We had a real passion from the leadership community in both the community perspective and the academic perspective to do this type of work, and we had a growing cadre of scholars in both of those areas as well. And so we began the Community Engaged Scholars Program. It came out of this team of administrators, researchers, and community leaders who developed the program. And so specifically, the goal of this program is to increase the capacity of academic community partnerships to conduct research with mutual ownership of both the processes and the products, and ultimately to improve the health of our communities in South Carolina and beyond. And so what makes this program unique is that the entity for which we focus on is the team. It is not just the community partner or just the academic partner, but in fact the team together. And so as we visioned this program, we saw these teams being trained, and we have 5 to 6 teams a year. So after 5 years, we would have 35 teams trained in this type of research. And think about the ability, and I'm so glad that this woman here from the community spoke up. Our goal is to build capacity so that our our community members are taking the lead in securing the funds just as much as our academic partners are receiving the funds from research and grants. And so we have three main pieces of the program. The first is a more didactic training sessions that occur monthly. Overall, it's an 18-month program. These training sessions happen from the start through the first year of the program. I'll speak a little bit later about the curriculum topic specifically, but they are co-taught by academic and community representatives and they deal with the tenets of partnership capacity in CBPR. The second piece is mentorship, and mentorship in the broad scope, our teams all have identified mentors from the beginning, and these mentors are based on the needs of that particular team. So whether it is a community mentor with substantial knowledge and context of the community for which the team is focused, or it's an academic mentor that brings in the knowledge of research methods and evaluation and grantsmanship. And the third piece is the pilot projects, and these occur from the six-month marker, and they have a year to finish, so rounding out our 18 months. And we do that so that there's a firm foundation within those 6 months to build the proposals for these projects and to be ready to implement them successfully. So what do we hope that our participants in these teams meet? What competencies do they meet when they finish? One, to understand the concepts and components of CBPR, but more so to be able to apply them in the context, in their context that's relevant to the communities that they work in. To incorporate the principles and grant proposals, to demonstrate the efforts of CBPR in both a tenure track portfolio, perhaps for an academic, but also in the long-term career goals of our community partners and their organizations that they represent, and to be able to communicate with multiple audiences about this type of research and its effects, and to ultimately implement a pilot CBPR initiative. So our focus, again, is on the team, and the team, in terms of how we define it, consists of at least one community and one academic partner. A community partner is somebody who maintains a primary affiliation, whether voluntary or employed, with a community organization who has a mission statement related to serving that particular community and has a history of serving the needs of the relevant community. And our academic partner is somebody with a faculty or staff appointment at the Medical University of South Carolina with the capacity to conduct research in their appointment. So the teams, in fact, sign a memorandum of understanding when they enter the program that they will work together throughout the project. And so that we have a call for applications that goes out, and we have a review panel of both community and academic partners that reviews the applications from the teams themselves and makes the final selection. So we in fact, don't make the selection. And our teams, we are currently in our second cohort. Our first cohort is finishing their pilot projects, and our second cohort is underway. And we have teams ranging from brand new that were identified through the application process to teams who have been working together for 20 plus years, and we found that this type of engaged dialogue has been effective for a range of teams and their histories. So you can see we represent multiple sectors, from the academic side, from nursing to dental medicine, physical therapy and epidemiology, obstetrics and geriatrics, and our community sectors vary just as widely, from disability to local government, charter schools, faith-based, HIV advocacy, sports and recreation, and respite care. So we're really spanning the gamut, and this has really enriched the dialogue that occurs during this training. So a little bit more specifically about the curriculum that occurs during these monthly sessions. Again, each session is co-taught by academic and community partners, and there's two areas that we focus on. The first is partnership capacity, and related to this, we really hone in on the concept of partnership readiness, and I won't talk about it in this particular section, but we had another NIH study that looked at what the dimensions of partnership readiness were, and we developed a model for partnership readiness, and subsequently, as we tested this, we found out that we really need to develop a guide, a toolkit, and so we developed a 75-page toolkit to really answer the question of why some partnerships are successful and why others are not successful, and laying out that open, honest, transparent conversation at the start as to how a partnership can move forward in the most successful way. So that we focus on in the beginning, and then we also go through all of the specifics of CBPR, from the definitions to assessment, collection and analysis, communication, evaluation, and most importantly, sustainability. And our sustainability piece is infused throughout all of these topics. So a bit more about the pilot projects themselves. So the teams, once they have been admitted to the fellowship program, they submit formal proposals that mimic what they might see in a grant proposal. And all of these are IRB approved by both any local IRB as well as MUSC. And they're up to a $10,000 award. And we certainly know what the limitations of $10,000 are. But this really sets the stage. Our vision for these teams is to give them the skills that they move on and are successful in securing grants together in the future. And so any type of formative and pilot work really can be done. And we've seen the teams that came together from experience together were sort of taking a slightly different direction on the work or taking a step back and realigning with the mission of the community that they're working with. And we had brand new teams that were really starting from the beginning. So a few exemplars of the teams that we've seen already. The first paired a rehab nurse with the executive director of an independent living center in the Tri-County area, and they did a broad analysis of unmet needs of individuals with disabilities. The second paired a dentist from our School of Dental Medicine with the town of Hollywood, which is one of our low rural towns adjacent to mainland Charleston, and so working at in the rural health and the particular Gullah community that lives there related to periodontal disease. And then we had someone from our United Way who mans the 24-hour hotline. She was partnered with somebody that focused, she was a psych nurse, and they looked at youth and suicide, youth and community suicide prevention. So those are just three examples to kind of highlight the scope and breadth that we see in our projects. So how exactly are we measuring our progress? I'll go through this quickly. Program evaluation, so we look, some of our key measures are we measure knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors related to both partnership and CBPR. By all of our participants on a quarterly basis. We do a mid-year and a final evaluation. We also do a lot of process evaluation as this is our second cohort that we're working on. So we're continually adapting this to the needs of the partners. And we have a pretty extensive impact evaluation as we track the teams as they complete the program and move forward in the work that they do together. So a few of our highlights that we've seen from our first cohort, we've had 9 presentations at the state or national level with both partners, 5 grant submissions with community partners as COI, 3 at foundation, 2 at the NIH level. 3 grants have been funding, 1 is under pending review, actually being scored this week. 2 pretty prominent articles in our local press being written about these partnership teams. We have 1 academic partner who was accepted for a Liberty Fellowship, which is a very honor, it's an honor in the state of South Carolina. We have a 95% satisfaction rate overall with program participants. So a few next steps, what can we do to package this program to reach a wider distribution while maintaining the integrity of the program? How can we continue to build the cadre of academic partners and community partners and track our teams? So I'm gonna leave it at that.